open up our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 4. So hello from Bendigo. My wife and our first daughter moved over to Bendigo from here about 8 years ago now. Had a second daughter since then, and always good to be back in Adelaide and visiting the saints. Great to see a number of familiar faces and a few new ones as well. Praise the Lord. Tonight I want to have a look at hospitality. Not the industry, but of course what the scriptures speak about hospitality. It's actually a topic we did a bit of a Bible study on, or particularly we were talking about ministering to the saints in Bendigo a few months ago. So just wanted to look into a few thoughts about hospitality tonight, about ministering to the saints. In fact, before I get into the scriptures, the hymn was absolutely perfect for what we're talking about tonight, because the last verse we sung, "So let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him, each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving." And as we look at a few of the scriptures tonight, you'll see how much that very much lines up with what we're talking about. So 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Just before we do move on here, I did want to have a bit of a look into verse 8, because when you read that verse there where it says, "For charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins," it kind of, it sounds like by showing love, we're kind of covering up or hiding our own sins. But just to look at another translation, in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." And then in brackets, it's got, "It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others." So as we're showing love to each other, it's not so much about, you know, me loving someone else so that I can cover up my own sins, but through our love, we're actually able to overlook the mistakes, the sins, when people miss the mark in their dealing with us. We don't sort of need to take it personally or look to get revenge or any of those sorts of things, but through our love for other people, we can actually overlook when others may slip up, when they may say the wrong thing to us, do the wrong thing. And we all know it happens in life. It happens in our families. It can happen even with our brothers and sisters in the Lord from time to time. We have these challenges with our relationships. And through the scriptures that we can see through our love, we're able to overlook those things. So reading on, again, at verse 9 says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." So here's this word hospitality, which, are there any Greeks here tonight, or can I try and pronounce in Greek? I've got fingers pointing. Okay. Anyway, philoxenos is how I look at that. Not sure if that's pronounced quite correctly. We don't have any Greeks in Bendigo, so we're safe to just pronounce things however we wish, and no one can pull us up on it. So this word philoxenos, made up of two words, which basically means friend and stranger. So being a friend of the stranger. As we read this word hospitality in the scriptures, think of that. It's being a friend to the stranger. Another way it's brought out is to be fond of guests. And that maybe aligns with our modern thinking of it, doesn't it? So use hospitality one to another without grudging. It's an interesting little thought that's added on here. The word grudging means murmuring or muttering or having a secret displeasure not openly avowed. So does that make sense? Like grudging is like, you know, I'll do it, but oh, I don't really want to, or, you know, I'm sort of being nice to you, but I'm only doing it because the Lord says I should, or any of those sorts of thoughts. When we show love one to another, we want to do it with a genuineness. It is the real deal. We're not doing it to please anyone else. But we are doing it to please the Lord, of course. But we're not doing these things grudgingly or with any secret displeasure. In verse 10, it says, "As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And a lot of the words that are being used here, again, are very similar to what we sung in the hymn earlier about being a minister, which means to be an attendant, to wait upon others, to serve others. Being a steward speaks about particularly being like a manager of household affairs. And if you think about it, we are all in this position. It's not just people who are in a position of maybe being a house leader or a pastor or in some kind of oversight position, but we are all managers of the household of God, in that we have a care, we have a responsibility for our brothers and sisters, which these scriptures are bringing out to us. And it says in verse 11 that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, and if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Again, I might just read this verse too from the Amplified Bible. It just brings it out a bit more fully. It says, whoever speaks to the congregation is to do so as one who speaks the oracles, the utterances, the very words of God. Whoever serves the congregation is to do so as one who serves by the strength which God abundantly supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified, honored, and magnified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So just in particular there, the thought in the middle about whosoever serves, says a congregation, we don't particularly use that term too much, but our brothers and sisters, the assembly here, whoever serves is to do as one who serves by the strength which God abundantly supplies. And often when we think about, you know, oh, what can I do for the Lord, or what can I do for my brothers and sisters, we think about our own characteristics, our own attributes, our own abilities, and sometimes we, based on that, can limit things and think, oh, you know, I'm not up to doing that, or I'm not bold enough to do this particular thing, or I can't help this person out in this particular way, because we limit ourselves based on how we look at ourselves. But as we look here, we can see that it's not about our own strength or ability or characteristics or any of these sorts of things. It's not about our natural flesh, our natural mind, but it's the strength which God gives to us. And if we're ever doubting ourselves on that, you know, it's something we can look to the Lord and say, Lord, I really want to help out in this particular area. I can see a brother or a sister with a need here, and I want to be there. I want to show some hospitality. I want to show some love for them, and I need to do it through your strength. Lord, give me that strength. If we think about this idea of the hospitality being a friend of the stranger, there's a lot of, I mean, we could give an entirely different talk about the fact that we were strangers to God. And even now we're strangers and pilgrims in this earth. This isn't particularly the place that we belong. It's not our long-term home. We know the Lord is preparing a place for us. But just to bring across that thought there, there's an example that's given in the Old Testament as well. So don't turn there. I'll quote this one. It says in Deuteronomy 18 and in verse 17, for the Lord your God is a God of gods, the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons nor taketh reward. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loves the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Then it says in verse 19, love you therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Again, yes, this is an Old Testament scripture, talking about Israel being in bondage in Egypt, and of course the Lord calling them out of that. So they were strangers to God. They were sort of in that bondage there in Egypt. And we know that's a type of our old life. We used to be very much in a position where we were strangers to God. We had no part with him, and yet he has brought us into his family. He has showed us this incredible love and drawn us in close, and we are no longer strangers to God. Praise the Lord. And so as we look around us, yes, we've got our brothers and sisters, but we can even think beyond that as well. You know, the people that we come across in this world, people that are perhaps strangers to us, people that we don't know, people that we are unsure about whether we, you know, can trust them or not, or all of these sorts of things we can have when we meet people. And the Lord is teaching us to have a love for the stranger, because he had a love for us. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. You know, this is a wonderful chapter that's where Jesus is speaking about the signs of his return. I'm just going to read a few verses from the end or towards the end of this chapter. So Matthew chapter 24, let's go from verse 42, which says, Jesus here says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord has made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant should say in his heart, My Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So Jesus really speaking about this division that will be made at the end there when the Lord returns, between those that are watching, those that are prepared, those that are ministering to our brothers and sisters and showing that care and love. And I guess there's this warning here, and we can take it in a number of different ways, where it speaks about those that can smite the fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. And we know that people can lose their way and take their focus off the things of the Lord and wander off into the world and all of these other things that the world has on offer. But we're called to keep watching, to be ready, to be prepared. And a part of that watching, a part of that preparation for the Lord's return is our service to each other, is our service, is our ministering, is our hospitality for our brothers and sisters and those outside the fold as well. And as we come there to the end of Matthew 25, unsurprisingly, we end up in Matthew 25, which has three separate parables. So we've got this probably quite a well-known chapter to many of us, speaking about very specific signs of the time, signs that the Lord said would be occurring in this world before his return. After this chapter, we roll into chapter 25, and we have these three parables. There's the parables, we're not going to read all of them, but there's the parable of the 10 virgins, speaking about the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. There's the parable of the talents, where one was given 5, one was given 2, one was given 1. And of course, the 5 and the 2 made increase, and the one who had 1, he went and buried it in the ground. Again, we don't have time to sort of dive into each of them, but both of those are about us being prepared. So the Lord's kind of given us the specifics of what to look for when he's going to be returning. And here in these parables, he's teaching us about being prepared, about what does it look like to be ready for his return? It's not just about knowing, yep, there's the signs, I can see him around the world, this nation's lining up against that nation, and this is unfolding the way that the Lord would say it would happen. Yes, it's good to have a knowledge of those things, but really our preparation for the Lord's return is very much a personal thing. It's not just about knowing what's happening on the world stage. It's about us looking to be serving the Lord, again, as we sung about in that hymn, by serving our brothers and sisters. We will read the third parable in this chapter, which will start off in verse 42. So Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I'm going to modernize the English a bit here, I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When do we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Again, when I heard the hymn tonight, I was like, wow, this really lines up with these scriptures, doesn't it? That as we find ways to serve, to minister to our brothers and sisters, to show that hospitality, to show that love, we, in turn, we're actually doing it to Jesus Christ. It's like our brothers and sisters are our access to serving the Lord. We can sort of think about, you know, what can I do for God? What can I do for the God who created the heavens and the earth? What does he need from me? There's really in that kind of line of thinking, there's nothing we can offer him. But we're told here, as we serve our brothers and sisters, as we care for them, as we show that love and compassion for them, we're actually showing it for Jesus Christ himself. Our brothers and sisters are our access. They're our way that we can serve the Lord. So what does this mean for us as we just think about the context here? Again, these three different parables given to us in Matthew 25, all about being prepared. What does it mean for us? It means keeping the Lord as number one in our lives. We know there's so many different scriptures we could look at about the various distractions that come up in this life, the various things that draw us away, take our focus away from God. We're called to keep focused on what's most important. Stay focused, stay watchful, and be involved in hospitality. Again, not an industry, and not just doing things for the sake of doing things, but really showing that love for the stranger, that love for our brothers and sisters, that love for maybe a new person who's coming into their first meeting and, you know, just going up and saying hello and introducing yourself and sharing a testimony, all of these different things. You know, we could have a massive long list of the various things that we do with each other and with new people and with people outside of the fold, all of these different people we come across in our lives, various ways we can show that love. I guess as you look at these verses, we probably immediately think about maybe the natural things that are being spoken about, where the idea of being hungry and being fed, being thirsty and being given drink, being sick or in prison and having someone visit. There is a natural application we can look at with these things, but of course, when you line this up with so many of the other scriptures we read in the Bible, we can see such a spiritual application as well. I'll just quote a couple of verses that illustrate this. Don't turn there, but in John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Luke chapter 10 speaks of the parable of the good Samaritan. And in amongst there, just verses 33 and 34, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came near where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn, and took care of him. A number of other scriptures I had written down here that illustrate the same point, really, that there's such a spiritual application in what we read here. So as we're looking at our brothers and sisters, or we're looking at people, whoever it is, family members, people at work, people at school, wherever we might be, and we're thinking to ourselves, what can I do for this person? Well, the most important thing we can offer is spiritual hospitality. Yes, you know, we can do nice deeds for other people as well. Certainly, you know, for our brothers and sisters, we can go and mow someone's lawn, and all of these sorts of things are really wonderful things to do for each other. But there's also these spiritual needs that we all have in our lives. And we're kind of filling the voids with each other, aren't we? We're helping each other out. We're supporting each other. We're showing care and showing love. We're sharing a testimony. We're praying for a brother or sister. We're sharing a scripture. We're going and visiting someone. We're inviting someone over for tea and maybe talking over a testimony or some scriptures while you're with your brothers and sisters. I can't possibly list all the things that we can do, but I'm sure we're all aware of them. And I'm sure we can also think in our own walk in the Lord of times where someone else has shown hospitality for me. Someone else has shown a bit of care. Someone else has recognized a need in my life and shown some consideration for that, shown some compassion, seen if they're able to help, shared some words of encouragement. Whatever it may be, we've all seen that in our own lives. And these are the sorts of things that we can look to offer our brothers and sisters. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and we will start in verse 9. It says here, "Let love be without dissimulation." Don't know about you, that's not a word I use every day. But it means, or I should say, without being without dissimulation means to be sincere, unfeigned, and without hypocrisy. So let our love be sincere, unfeigned, without hypocrisy. Another way we might say it is, let our love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The words that are used in here, kindly affection, very, I think it's the only time it's actually used in the New Testament. It's very much about the love that we see in a family, the love that like a mother or a father would show for a son or daughter and vice versa. It's that kind of love that's being brought out to us. So this family love that we have, being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. There's that word being used again. Given to hospitality. Here's a few quite practical things that are mentioned here. Bless them which persecute you. That's easy to read, maybe it's a little bit harder to put into action, but it's what we're called to. You know, we're not people that want to have grudges and enemies and all of those sorts of things. But even those people that say the wrong thing about us or insult us or whatever it may be, you know, say we're wasting our time coming out on a Wednesday night and going to a meeting and it's all just a load of rubbish or whatever people might think and say, we're actually called to bless them. Bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of lower state. Be not wise in your own conceits. I think I heard, yeah, this one in the Amplified too. It says, so verse 16 from the Amplified Bible says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, conceited, self-important, exclusive, but associate with humble people, those with a realistic self-view. Do not overestimate yourself. Well, we see a lot of this in society, don't we? I mean, maybe we can pick on social media, but often what we see on social media and even maybe what people try and portray in their own lives is very much the best of what they have to offer. They're kind of lifting themselves up, raising themselves up above other people. Look how good my life is. Look at this that I'm doing and that I'm doing and this that I have and all of these sorts of things. And people have this tendency to want to boast about what they have, who they are and all of these different things. And the scriptures here are totally speaking against that and really calling us to be humble, be prepared to associate, hang around with humble people. People that are just happy to know, you know what? Best thing about me is I'm spirit filled. The best thing that's ever happened in my life is the Lord has, you know, filled me with his spirit. I'm born again of water and the spirit. I'm walking on in the ways of the Lord. That's what I want to glory in. That's what I want to boast about. That's what I want to share. Verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Again, a lot of these things, we read through them and like, yep, easy to read, but some of these things really go against our nature, don't they? Our human nature, when someone says the wrong thing about us, we want to say the wrong thing about them, even if it's behind their back, even if they don't really know about it. We sort of perhaps naturally have a desire to get back at people, to get justice, to get whatever it may be, but we're called here, it's not about avenging ourselves. It's not about us trying to sort out what is right and wrong and make things fair and just. Leave that to the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That verse 20 there, bit of an interesting phrase. Through doing these things, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And I don't know if anyone's sort of looked into that with different commentaries on the Bible or anything like that. But there's a number of different ideas about what that means. I don't particularly see that as like a revenge. Like, you know, as we do the right thing to our enemies, well, we're going to be sort of, you know, burning them. They're going to be feeling terrible or anything like that. But I just think, you know what? It's going to have an effect. It's going to have an impact. They're going to recognize who we are and what we stand for. You know, this is in doing that, in reacting in that way, in not looking for vengeance, in showing a love even for our enemies, it's going to have an impact. It's going to perhaps make people consider, oh, hang on a second, maybe there is something different about this person. He's not looking to get back, or she's not looking to get back at me. What is it that makes them so different? So, a lot of wonderful advice to us through those scriptures. So just in sort of closing, as we think about this idea of this hospitality, this care for each other, this care for new people, just a few of the things that I know we all do, have had done to us, but we can just revisit these things and think about them and look to be doing more and more of them. Praying for each other, visiting one another, you know, perhaps particularly some older saints or those that aren't able to, for various reasons, to get to as many meetings or whatever it may be, that have challenges in their life in that way, how much will they appreciate a visit? Inviting someone over to our own house for fellowship. And again, as we think about things like that, in society today, this has been lost, or pretty much been lost. You know, typically speaking, people have forgotten or neglected or whatever it may be. Just maybe the common hospitality that would have existed in times gone by. So if we're able to show that, and it might just be a simple, hey, you know what, come over for a coffee on such and such a day. That might be something that someone else hasn't heard for years, and they might just want to take you up on that, and who knows where it might lead. Offering someone a lift to a meeting or an event, smiling and introducing ourselves when we meet a new person, either a new person to our meetings or maybe just a visitor from Bendigo or somewhere like that, someone you haven't met before. Encouraging each other in the Lord, sharing scriptures, offering prayer, visiting the sick. Again, there is, of course, a practical, a natural application to that as well, of course. Stepping in and helping when someone's got a need in their life. Maybe, you know, someone's moving house and you see a bunch of saints sort of jump in and help out. All of those sorts of things are wonderful ways that we can show that hospitality. So let's be a friend to each other. Let's be a friend to the strangers. Let's be a people who are a listening ear, that care, that don't just want to talk at people or, you know, talk about ourselves, but listen to other people. Let's be a people who have a desire to visit others and to be visited, to open up, you know, maybe it's not at your house, maybe you don't want to open up your house or whatever it may be, but, you know, go and catch up with someone in a cafe or go for a walk or whatever it may be. Let's be a people who have a desire to help others out, to recognize when they have a need in their life, either naturally or spiritually, to see those needs and think, you know what? This isn't about my own abilities or my own confidence or anything like this. Lord, give me the strength. Give me the ability to help this person with this. I want to do it. Lord, make the way for that to happen. So there's lots of different ways we can show this hospitality. We can show this love for the stranger. So let's be prepared to sacrifice a bit of ourselves, a bit of our own time, our own focus, and give that to our brothers and sisters, give that to other people, and remember that as we do that, we're giving it to the Lord. And all the people said,